Hello there, this is Dr. Alan Hedberg, and this is the Psychology Report. Today I would like to address an issue that has come to the attention of the American people following the recent elections of Trump versus Hillary Clinton. You know, in history, there's only been a few occasions when people following the elections broke out and cried. Cried in the streets, cried privately, cried publicly. Cried in a variety of situations, and who knows for what reason. Nixon, there are people that cried after him. He won very narrowly. There are people who cried after Reagan's election, his first election. It was a narrow election as well. And now we see a crying after the Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump election. You know, when you think of this issue of crying, you know, people cry for a lot of reasons. When they're hurt. Physically or emotionally. Deep hurt is always associated with crying, and crying is often a healing balm. It's often helpful. It's a way of expressing a feeling and a deep sense of what's going on within you following a hurt, whether that was intended or unintentional. We also cry when we're let down. We have these great hopes. We have great aspirations, and all of a sudden, we're let down. Our hopes are do not materialize and are not fulfilled, and we're just let down, and we're just sad, and it's like you can't handle it because you had this expectation that was so high and so powerful and strong, and then it didn't materialize and you were let down. Now people cry because they lost hope. You know, you have this hope that things were going to go well, things would go your way, things were going to go what you wanted to have happen. You were on the winning team. And everything looked like it was going to be the way that you wanted it to come out and the way that you anticipated it. And all of a sudden, it turns. Your hope goes down the drain. Your hope is dashed. So you lost hope. And there is crying. Then there's this fear. It can be a false fear or a true fear. But fear is also associated with crying. People out of fear become tremorous and very nervous and anxious. And worrisome, and crying becomes part of that, especially if it's a false fear, because there's no way to validate it, there's no way to correct it, there's no way to make things right when you're in a false fear. You just have to let time pass by. Similarly, there's false and there's true loss. When you lose something, a close friend, spouse, you lost money, you lost prestige, you lost an opportunity, you lost a job, you lost a home, you lost a car, you lost things that are important to you, you lost a child. This loss is associated with crying, and true loss is true crying. But sometimes it's false loss. You don't really see, it really is not a true loss, but you perceive it as a loss, and crying is often associated with that. Crying is particularly associated when you have these high emotional experiences before the hurt occurs. Or before the letdown occurs, or before the hope is dashed, or before the loss occurs, or before the fear really comes to be a reality. When you have this high emotional experience, and then the letdown, then the loss comes. And crying is often associated with that change or that differentiation between this up feeling and this very powerful, strong feeling of hope, and you're going to win, and things are going to go your way, and things are going well. Then all of a sudden, all that is dashed. So it's like falling from a high ladder to the ground. The hurt is great. The thud is great. You know, following the elections now with Trump and Hillary, with Trump winning, a lot of people cried. The streets, home, publicly, privately. Today, I had an occasion to speak with a lady that cried. She said she never cried after an election. Sure, she was disappointed in times that she didn't like the outcome, but never cried. And she's not particularly a person who cries a lot. She certainly is emotional and certainly is sensitive, but is not known for her exceedingly great crying. But she said she cried after the elections when they came in. So we begin to explore that a little bit as to what might be in back of her crying. And maybe that was true for a lot of people. In her answer, she seemed to reveal this, that she had a distorted view of Trump. You know, her view of Trump was that he was the Antichrist. You know, that he was evil. He was evil in person, personified. So she saw this man who was winning, who is now going to be the president, and he's going to be an evil person to rule over us. He's going to be the Antichrist to rule over us and to make our life a total despair and defeat. I call that a distorted view of the winner. Sure, he won, but he's not the Antichrist. He's not an evil man. Sure, there were some things that came out in the news that he might have done that we didn't like and people don't like and maybe shouldn't have happened, but he's not an evil person. The difference between an evil person and somebody who does evil is a great difference. It's the idea of not liking the evil, obviously, not appreciating the evil. But he's not an evil man. He's not an evil person. But that's a distorted view. And when he wins, then that took away her joy and her hope and her aspirations and her desire for Hillary to be the president. But as she talked, I also saw that she had a distorted view of Hillary. She saw Hillary as almost a princess, as somebody who could not fail, a person who has done nothing wrong. And even though she was accused falsely. You know, and her own life was just such that she was going to be the answer to America's problem. And that she held the keys to the kingdom. She was a princess that could do no wrong. She discounted all the stuff about the emails. And she discounted all the accusations regarding Benghazi and all the other accusations that had been put forth for Hillary. A long list of them. She just discounted all that because Hillary could do nothing wrong. She was falsely accused. She was protecting this person. And this person that she was protecting in her own mind lost the election. And her hope and her joy and her faith and her feelings were all hurt. And we're all let down and we're all disappointed. And she just cried for Hillary. But there's a third factor that entered in. Remember when Hillary gave her acceptance speech, or her admitting speech, I guess, to Trump and letting him proceed on with being the president, and she withdrew from the race? She cried three times. She broke down three times. And people noticed that, particularly women, particularly noticed her crying. And they felt sorry for her, felt sympathetic for her. Certainly this lady that I talked to did. There's that sense of being sorry and sympathetic and empathetic for Hillary, and to feel her pain, and to feel her sorrow, and to feel her loss. They cried basically together. This person I talked to broke down and cried in support and empathy and sympathy for Hillary. That's why people cry. They over-identify, they over-involve themselves, they overly stretch into the impossible and believe the impossible. She believed that it was impossible for Hillary to lose that election. It was impossible for her to not win. Well, the tide changed. The tide changed at the last minute. She had expectations of that. Obviously, the press was very favorable towards Hillary, and they painted the picture that she was going to win and could not lose. The media painted the picture. All the politicians painted the picture that Hillary was going to win and could not lose. And right up at the very last, even the polls were saying that she could not lose and she was a sure winner. So people began to have this high expectation, almost hype, this psychological hype that she was going to win and not lose. So this high experience was entered into, this high level of anxiety, this high level of excitement. And then the results came in and they didn't support the expectation. They didn't support the hype. And she lost. And this breakdown, this letdown, occurred on the part of many people who expressed it through crying. See, it takes that high expectation followed by a loss that was referred to as an impossibility, an unlikelihood happening. So when we get into situations when we really believe in something, really want something, we always have to kind of consider there's an alternative. There's a plan B. There's an option. It's always possible that our plan will not work out. Our desire will not fulfill. Our number one goal will not be achieved. Our desire will not be fulfilled. There's always that possibility. So you always have to look at what would plan B be? What would happen if I don't win? What would happen? How would I handle the situation if I don't win? How is the world going to be? How is America going to be if Hillary doesn't win? You always have to look at that. You always have to have some discussion about it. Because if you don't discuss the option, the alternative, then you go along with this false belief, this distorted belief that there's only one option, and that is for her to win. So that's how you prepare yourself. Some people say you have to kind of expect the best and may have to settle somewhere in the middle, but you certainly don't want the worst option, you know, to take place. So you always have to look at it. What are the options and what can you settle with and how will you handle it if your option doesn't become the answer to the issue before you? Anyway, hope that you will now pick up and go forward. We as a nation have to pick up and go forward and wipe our tears and move on, because tomorrow comes. What's the statement? Friday is coming. We better be ready. This has been Dr. Alan Hedberg, and this is the Psychology Report. It's good to be with you. I refer you to my website, booksbyhedberg.com. Go there, pick up a book, and get something for Christmas, and get something for parenting, get something for stress management. Pick up a book that will help you in your emotional intelligence, your social skills, and you'll be enriched by picking up a book. Booksbyhedberg.com. Nice to be with you, and bye for now.